You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time now to head across the oceans. We're going to have our weekly catch-up with our European correspondent, Mary Margaret Slack, in the UK. This week, Theresa May is heading to Northern Ireland and is a no deal off the table. Have a listen.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, it's outrageously hot and it's only 9 o'clock, but...
Can't relate.
Yeah.
Hey, happy White Tongue Day.
Well, for tomorrow.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. That fucks me up.
Just getting too prepared.
Yeah, way over.
How was last week? How was Lillian?
Yeah, Lillian, it was really nice talking to her again. It's funny, like, hearing New Zealand accents now. I kind of relish every opportunity.
Really? So I personally find our accent kind of unbearable.
No, 100%, but then you listen back and you hear differences, I suppose. Like, I just used to think of it as so neutral, but now when I hear it, I'm like, oh, Jesus.
I mean, it's better than Australia.
That's true.
Now, I think we need to start with the classic question of what's actually happened in the last week, because just
of course, so much
always happens.
Always. So we're about 7 weeks out now from Brexit Day on the 29th of March, and... we're getting closer and closer without having achieved anything, really. So it's Monday night here, and obviously the biggest debate of the week in the Commons is on Tuesday. So last Tuesday, there were some quite important amendments debated. One was Yvette Cooper's amendment, which would have acted sort of as a means to change basically legislate to be able to extend Article 50 and prevent a no deal, but it did not go through, as many MPs feel that it would signal to the British public that they want to prevent Brexit altogether. But that's not what the Cooper Amendment was. I told Lillian last week when she was asking about it that it just gives Theresa May more time to negotiate. So that, even though the no deal risk that is, you know, as we've discussed previously, increasingly high, and the risk of it is widely disliked, even though it's disliked, majority of the MPs voted against that amendment, and they voted for the Prime Minister to renegotiate a deal that isn't actually up for renegotiation. So the saga of breaking this sort of
right
gridlock continues. Yeah.
So do we have any idea how close we are to another vote or a no deal or any of these things actually happening?
Well, the next thing that sort of happens is Theresa May honing in on the details within her draft agreement that are disliked and meant she faced defeat a couple of weeks ago in the first place. Now, one of these biggest issues is the issue of a backstop, which Theresa May supports, which would stop a hard border going up between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. So tomorrow she goes to Northern Ireland to deliver a speech stressing her commitment to avoiding that hard border, because at the moment between those two areas, there's no barriers at all on trade and movement. But as soon as the UK leaves the European Union, Northern Ireland remains in the UK and the Republic of Ireland remains in the EU. And so the backstop that Theresa May has put forward is basically a measure to ensure that the no barrier regime remains intact so that none of the violence of the past is reignited. But it's highly disliked by certain MPs, most notably hard Brexiteers from the Conservative Party, who say that the only way forward is to remove a backstop. So a working group of Tories has been established now. The group is comprised of some who are pro-Remain and some who are pro-Leave, and they will be discussing the alternatives, of which there are three options. A trusted trader scheme, which essentially is just kind of the same thing that they have at the moment, avoiding the physical checks. There's also the option of having a mutual recognition agreement, which enables the Republic of Ireland to maintain their European Union's current rules. And the third option is basically the idea of employing new technology, which is quite a controversial one. It's not the core of the Brexit news at the moment, but when it is brought up, especially on talkback radio over here, it's quite a divisive issue. People think that parliamentarians are just sort of waving the term new technology around, even though none of the technology that is necessary really exists yet.
Right. And so when you talk about this border, I mean, it all sounds a bit Trumpy. Is it actually a similar sort of debate in terms of, you know, or am I just being a bit inexperienced?
Well, it's definitely comparable to that sort of Trumpian border conversation in terms of its populist roots. However, it is more rooted in historical niches of the violence that took place. Ireland is a country that still very strongly feels the tensions of the past, and the border essentially would act as a physical reminder, a recognition of everything that fueled the fights that hurt so many in that nation. But the people, most notably Tories, who want to have resurrect the hard border, do sort of fall in line with what you're identifying, that Trumpian kind of anti-immigration, nationalistic kind of rhetoric.
And what do people actually think about all this? What's the kind of commentary from the public at this stage?
On the Ireland issue, on the backstop issue?
Yeah.
The backstop one is definitely quite a jargon-filled thing. It's one of those things that every time you read about it, there's a lot of the stories here have attached to them, especially online, like dictionaries to help you with the jargon terms, and because a lot of the public sort of don't follow the exact details of terms like backstop and Cooper Amendment. So the backstop is definitely another one of those nitty-gritty details that is kind of overlooked. It's often a very oversimplified issue. I would say even sort of straw man arguments are drawn when it's discussed. So it's the issue of the Irish border is definitely something that isn't talked about here so much as it would be in Ireland, and it's more concentrated within discussions in Parliament, I would say.
Yeah, and I feel like that seems to be quite a common issue with Brexit, that there are so many different issues. They're all complicated. They all have their own nuances, and the public just have to try and understand as much as possible to actually form an opinion. And then, yeah, I feel like that's part of the issue as to why this has all happened in the first place.
Absolutely, and Lillian made that point to me last week as well. She was saying how when Brexit started, before they had even voted to leave, it was all pinned down to very, very simple terms, which, you know, very quickly the whole nation, I was going to say parliamentarians, but the whole nation has realised it's not simple at all. It's all tricky trade, and, I mean, the negotiations themselves just show how important the detail is at this point. So hopefully, I would like to see personally a little more discussion about issues of particularly the backstop in the public arena over here, because I don't know that it's a chance for England to sort of look at itself a little bit more closely and its presence in the world as a coloniser. So
yeah, well, we will keep watching it as we get ever closer to that March deadline. You're away the next 2 weeks, right?
I am, yes.
So we'll
I am going to be watching Rose Musbeau and Alice Steele, classic New Zealand comedians, performing at Soho Theatre.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I know, I can't wait.
I keep hearing them promo it on their podcast.
Oh, yeah, they're so good, right? I love it.
Oh, cool. Well, next week and the week after, we'll have Justin back. So we'll still have European discussion, so people won't go without a couple of weeks talking about what's going on in that part of the world.
No, we wouldn't want to neglect that.
Of course not. All right, talk to you soon. Thank you.
See you, Stuart.
Bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.